Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Are you ready to learn the keys to copywriting success? My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 20 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. My co-host Kate Sitars and I, along with the rest of the Filthy Rich Writer team, are sharing everything we've learned in our decades in the industry so that you can start and scale a successful copywriting business of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hey there, Kate.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Okay, guys. Today we are going to talk about your, I was going to say first point of contact with your client, but it's not really the first point of contact. The first point of contact would be your pitch, right? You send out a pitch to someone that you're interested in working with. So the second point of contact is what we're going to be talking about. And I almost said first because this is the first time you're actually going to be talking with them. We are talking about how to prepare and how to calm your nerves.
Not freak out.
Not freak out.
Well, you're going to freak out, but how to take that freak out?
Minimize. Minimize that freak out for your first client call, which we will often refer to as the discovery call.
Even your second client call with like a new client. I feel like this comes up, these feelings come up again and again and again where you're like, ooh, it's a new client. Oh my gosh, I got to prove myself. I've never talked to them. What if they hate me?
Yes.
It gets better, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel like exactly.
It still comes up.
And it all gets better with practice as well. Yes. Okay, so number one, let's talk about what happens in this call, just to make sure we're all on the same page. So the process often will be you send out a pitch, a value-based pitch, as our students know, very different from the, oh man, the average pitches that Kate and I were just talking about getting in our inboxes. Woo!
Got some good examples for CCA students coming up, yeah.
Ouch.
Good, bad examples. What not
real bad, real bad. Mm. But our students send out value-based pitches. And the best result, of course, is that a potential client will reach out and say, I'd love to talk more about this. Let's get on the phone or get on Zoom of course.
Mm-hmm. Google Meet, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So this call, the purpose of this call is to establish whether or not you and this client are a good fit, which I think is the first place I want to start, because I think the problem that a lot of copywriters go into it with is, or I should say the problematic thinking, is that they think this is the call on which I have to prove myself. This is the call in which I have to land this work.
Otherwise, there'll be no other calls. There are no other clients. Especially when it's your very, very, very first one where it feels like this is it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so no kidding. You feel pressure. If you are saying to yourself, I have to be perfect. I have to prove myself. I have to make my copywriting career worth it. It's all hinging on this phone call. Yeah. No kidding. You're stressed out. Except that all that stuff we just said is not true. None of that stuff is actually true. First of all, the call is not at all about you proving yourself.
Mm-hmm. And it's very much just as much about the client not proving to you, but you assessing whether or not you even want to work with this client, because sure, they may or may not want to work with you, but also you may or may not want to work with them. It's a two-way decision. And I think we go into it with very much, this is just their decision. The ball's in the client's court. But no, that's why we freelance too, because we can choose who we work with. And so if you remember that, there's a lot more, it's a lot more calming because you go in knowing that this is very low key. This is very much the beginning of a potential relationship, or potentially this is it. And you say, nope, this is not a client I actually want to work with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I guarantee that at some point in your career, multiple times in your career, you will get on a discovery call with a client and you will go in your head, obviously, Oh no. I don't think so. This client, I'm getting the feeling this client is going to be way more trouble than they're worth. I'm going to very gently let them know that this is not a good fit. Mm-hmm. Because you will. There will be calls, like I think of calls where I've gotten on the call and, you know, they're very clear that they have no idea what they want, or they have no idea where they are in the process, or they're just, everything is a little chaotic, everything is a little confusing. And there are certainly, you could take on the role, charge for it to help them get mm-hmm. organized, but I have not wanted to do that. And so they have wanted to work with me, and I have very politely turned them down because mm-hmm. of the information that I got on that call. So it really is a matter of not just them evaluating you, but you evaluating them just as much. It's really, I like your analogy of a date, Kate, and not a date where it's like, I hope this is going to be the person I'm going to fall in love with forever. It's a date of two equals going into it and saying, all right, is there something more here? Would I like to talk with you some more? And if yes, great, then it continues. But if no, fine. Everybody parts happy. I think the other point is that, part of the stress is, as we were saying, that idea of like, well, I have to land this client. This has to be the client. Which comes from this idea that there's a limited number of clients in the world.
Yeah. I think I Googled this the other day on our Pitchapalooza. We're in the midst of, by the time this airs, we will not be in the midst of it, but our students are currently going through a Pitchapalooza, which is annual student event free for CCA students, gets everyone pitching. And this comes up too, because one of the things we do is talking about how much opportunity there is, and having CCA students kind of go through and make their initial pitch list of companies they might want to work with. And as you kind of let go of those blocks you're imposing on yourself of saying, oh, there's, I can only think of two possible clients that I can work with. As you let go and kind of let yourself explore, you realize, oh, there's literally millions. And so I think the stat, and I will double check this, but something like over 9 million, and this is just e-commerce, I believe, websites, digital online sales sites in the US, I think there was 2 million of those are in the US, over 2 million. So I can't even fathom that number. I can't even fathom 200. I don't even think I've had 50 clients in my total career of working as a copywriter for 12 plus years mm-hmm. now.
Who consistently make six figures. Yes. When right. you've been a full-time freelancer, you consistently made six figures.
Consistently made 6 years. And yeah. I don't, honestly, I could go back and count the total number of clients. I've had so many repeat clients that I enjoy working with. And yes, I've had new ones, but I can count that number. It's certainly not 100. It's not hundreds. It's not thousands. It's not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And then you get to, so that all that to say is the potential and the need for you is it's huge, right? So much potential. And all you need as a copywriter is like 3 to 4 every month. And often those are going to be repeat clients. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this one call and this one client is not going to make or break anything. Obviously, you want to put your best foot forward, of course. But let's say worst case scenario, you get on the call and you forget how to speak, or you just open your mouth and nothing but swear words come out. Is that great? No. But let's say you completely bomb, which again, we'll talk about in just a second so that you won't. But like, let's just say worst case scenario, you completely blow it. guess what? Not a big deal. There are
you're still living. You're still breathing.
You're still living. You still have the same skills you had before. Mm-hmm. Now you have that learning experience under your belt, and you also have literally millions of other companies that you could be pitching. Literally millions. So you never, yes, you might go into calls being excited because you're like, oh, I like this company. I'd really love to work with this company. Okay, fine. But also, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but let's say that you do, say the call doesn't go well or that they don't end up wanting to work with you. It could just be at that moment. You never know how things are going to change. Their business priorities might change. And in 6 months, they call you back. Or the people on staff, the person who said, nah, I don't think this is a good fit. 6 months later, they might not be there. And you end up working with it, with that company with somebody else. There mm-hmm. are no very few truly closed doors in freelancing.
If the company shuts down, then yeah, that's a closed door. But that's about it. That's
true. Really going to be hard to get them to hire you. It's true. Yeah. Yeah. But so the one of the things that we really want you to focus on as you go into this call is not how can I prove myself? But okay, what do I need to find out from this client? And again, remembering that this is a potential client among millions. If it goes well, great. If it doesn't, not a huge deal because you know how the system works. Yeah. You send out pitches, again, value-based pitches. Don't do it the way everybody else does it. Send it and you send those out consistently. Some people will say no. Some people won't get back to you and you'll follow up. But some people will say yes, and they will get on the phone with you. And if you want to get people on the phone with you, you keep sending out those pitches. It's a system. It's a very simple rinse and repeat system. And this is just that next step in the process. So what does the next step entail, right?
Yeah. And one of the big things that I like to do before a client call that I think really eases my nerves is to just prepare some, I'm not going to spend hours because you haven't landed this client yet. So it doesn't make sense to invest hours and hours of your time, but spend 10, 15 minutes going over what did you pitch them? Do you have any other notes that you want to make sure you bring up? Do you have specific questions you want to ask them? And so just write out a few notes. You can very much easily over-prepare and you might for the first one and realize that you can kind of rein it back on the second one because it is just a conversation and that client's also going to bring questions and you're going to have the answers because they're asking questions about you. So if there's anything, I want to make sure, if they ask me about this, that here's what I really want to mention. So having notes for yourself for things you really don't want to forget, that preparation will kind of put you at ease. So you're not going in like, oh shoot, I forgot to study for the test. You've studied for the quote unquote test and it's not a test. So maybe that's a bad analogy, but either way you have prepared, you can calm yourself. And the other thing too is before I get on the call, just breathe. Don't forget to breathe. Just take some long, deep breaths. If you're getting that panic attack feeling, do the four in the box breathing, breathe in, hold it 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds, hold it, box breathing, four, mm-hmm. four. That can really just help kind of reset if you're really going into panic spiral mode. So you get on the call and you're not,
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's an informational meeting more than it's discovery. You are discovering about this client. It's an informational meeting. And our students know that they have access to the Nail Your Client Calls course, mm-hmm. where we go through the questions and the answers to if a client mm-hmm. asks me this, if a potential client asks me this, what should I say? Or what if they ask? We go through all that, so we're not going to go through all of the things here, but every single question here. But you're going to go into it to asking them about what some of their business goals are. You want to find out what has gotten in the way of those. You want to know what some of their current projects are. You want to learn more about this company and find out what they're trying to do so that you can figure out how you can help them do it. That's all that's about. And they're trying to figure out what you do and what you do well, which you can tell them, deliver ahead of time without them having to ask, so that they can figure out if you are the right choice to help them meet their goals as well. It's a very straightforward conversation. And before I forget too, if you get into that call and you're still feeling a little bit nervous, if you've done your box breathing, your 444, and do it before you get on the call. It would be super weird if you were on the call and did your box breathing. But if you get on the call and you're still kind of talking over or, stutter a little bit, you know what? You're human. It's perfectly fine to say, I'm sorry. Let me just take a breath. I'm really enthusiastic about your company, mm-hmm. or I'm really excited about your company. So I've been looking forward to this call. let me just take a moment. You know, you're human. And first of all, it's a good thing if you are excited about this call, even technically, if you are nervous, which your body can't tell the difference between. So it's perfectly valid to say, I was really looking forward to this call. So I'm excited to talk to you. So let me just take a breath for a second.
Great point too, to reframe it. If you're feeling, I'm feeling nervous. You know what? I'm feeling excited, and switching the vocabulary that you're using, because it is, you are excited. There's a potential first client. So focusing on the positive spin of that emotion that you're feeling versus the negative. And we were just talking about this a lot too, with just word choices in general of, I'm feeling nervous. Like feel what you're feeling, but then focus on, okay, what do I need to do next? And what are the words I'm using? Is this scary? Maybe I'm feeling a little scared, but it's also, it's exciting. It's opportunity. It's what if this goes right? Obviously, again, not putting pressure on yourself that it has to go right, but we focus so much on the negative of what if they hate me? What if they think I'm stupid? What if they realize that I'm not actually a copywriting expert and I'm a fraud? And none of that is going to, I promise you, none of that's going to come true. You are the copy expert. So reminding yourself of these things, I know I've learned this. I know how to execute. I know how to write the thing that I pitched. I've practiced it. Reminding yourself all that you have done and all that you are prepared to do versus focusing on these fleeting thoughts and feelings that aren't actually based in fact or reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is too, and I think maybe this is partially because we work alone, or we spend so much of our time working alone and working, but all of these thoughts are very much focused on us, right? This is how I feel. This is what if they think this about me? What if I do this? But you know what? This call is not about you. You are participating in this call, certainly, but this call is not about you. This call is about their company and what their company needs and what you and your services can do for their company. So if you stay focused on, what if I do this? And I turn that outward. And a great way to do that is to just stay focused on questions about them and questions about their company and questions about their goals and questions about their frustrations. And again, CCA students, you have those exact questions in the Nail Your Clients Client Calls course. But if you focus on yourself, it's going to make you more nervous. It's going to make you, you will be self-focused. But it's not about you. This call is not about you. This call is about your potential client and what their business needs. Now, of course, as we were saying, yes, you are trying to decide if this is a meeting of the minds, if it's a good fit, but it's about that company's needs and what you could potentially do for that company. It's not about who you are as a person. It's not about even who you are as a copywriter. It's about this company's needs. And as long as you stay focused on that, it will be so much easier. You're not going into this call being evaluated on whether or not you're a worthy human being. That's not what these calls are about. Mm-hmm. These calls are about finding out what this company's needs are and ascertaining whether you're a good fit and whether you want to help this company meet their goals.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that people, a lot of the nerves come from are all these what if questions. What if they ask me something I don't know? What if they ask me if I've done this before? What if they ask me, you can go on and on and on, probably come up with like 50 what if questions. If they ask you, if they use a term you don't know, for example, there are different terms that people use for different things. Hey, excuse me, I noticed you said this. Can you just clarify what you mean by that to me? oh, okay. And they'll happily do that. It's not a big deal. It doesn't make you look stupid. It doesn't make you look unprofessional. Mm-hmm. It makes you actually look more professional, quite frankly, that you are willing to admit, hey, I need to make sure that we're on the same page and I'm clarifying and we're all talking about the same thing. If they ask you, you know, have you done this before? And you haven't, it's not about lying. It's saying, hey, you know what? I haven't worked on this type of project before, but I've done something similar. And I really feel like I can use, you know, these same principles to really make this an effective, whatever the medium mm-hmm. is or whatever the industry is. You can talk about what skills you do have and do know, and you don't have to make up. We would never advocate you to lie or make up something that isn't true. It's all about you being authentic and just being upfront and professional. If they ask you to quote a price, you can say, hey, we've talked about a lot of good information on this call. Let me take my notes and get back to you with a scope of work and a quote that I think would really make sense for your goals and help you achieve what you're looking to achieve. You can take time in certain places to say, hey, I have notes. I want to, let me revisit this. Let me get back to you. Obviously, if it's something you're going to get back to them on, you know, if they want to see samples or your portfolio, hey, you know what? I don't have that in my portfolio, but I do have it in my folder of samples. So let me send that to you directly. Do it within a reasonable, you know, if the call's at the end of the day, maybe you send it the next morning. If the call's early in the morning, maybe you send it by end of day. Give them an expectation of when they can receive it and do it in a timely manner. But you don't have to put the pressure on yourself to do everything on the call. You can take a beat, or if they ask a question, be comfortable in that 1, 2, 3 seconds of silence that probably feels like a lot to you, but you can, hey, let me look at my notes. I have some notes that I prepared for this call and I have, let me just check that before I answer your question. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of tools and ways that you can slow the conversation down and not feel like you have to answer right away or, you know, be on, so on top of things. You can take a beat and reference notes and come back to questions. It's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Just because they ask something on a call doesn't mean it has to be answered on the call. If you mm-hmm. don't have a good answer, you can always say, you know what, let me actually think about that and get back mm-hmm. to you a little bit later this afternoon. Or, you know what, I'm not sure about that. Let me look into that, or something along those lines. But I do want to circle back to the pricing, because I think that that's something that scares a lot mm-hmm. of new copywriters, because they'll be talking on a call with a client. They'll be talking through, well, we could do this. Maybe you came in with the idea. Often I will say that you pitch an idea and on the discovery call, you end up talking about a totally different mm-hmm. Project completely. Now, obviously, if you come in with an idea, you might have a ballpark price of what you would quote for that project. But especially since most of the time you're going to end up talking about different projects, it is very likely that on the call, the client will say, okay, well, how much would that cost? This is a time that I really want to make it clear that you do not have to quote on the call. And in fact, I would say that you should not quote on the call. Again, this is not for that initial idea you came in with. If you pitch them on a new about me page or about us page, and that's the only project they want to work for, you could potentially give them a quote there if you had a very good understanding. But I would say that 90% of the time, if not 99, yeah. you're going to end up talking about different projects, different, all kinds of different things. And of course, your client is going to ask how much it's going to cost. Like, truly, of course, expect that this will happen, because that's what clients do. They ask how much it's going to cost. That's what they know to ask. However, just because that's what they ask does not mean that you have to answer in that moment, because you don't know. You haven't had time to sit down and think through this whole project and to figure out how long it's going to take. You couldn't possibly answer how much it's going to cost on the call, because you haven't had the time to process all of this information. If you tried to answer, it would either be wildly more, or knowing the way we tend to operate, probably wildly less than it actually is worth. So as Kate said, and I just want to really underline this, when a client asks how much it's going to cost, you say, great question. I have a lot of notes here that I really want to go through. So what I'd like to do is after this call, just synthesize all these notes and make sure I know what I'm looking at here so that I can send you through a quote by end of day today. by 5 o'clock today or by 9 a.m. tomorrow if you're already at the end of the day or something like that. Give them, tell them the quote is coming. Absolutely. Tell them why they're waiting for the quote, because you want to go through your notes and make sure that you have time to look at everything and factor in everything. And then tell them when they're going to get it. You can't say, all right, well, just, you know, and then I'll send you a quote. You are doing your customer or your potential client a disservice by saying, I'll send you a quote, and then never telling them when.
Doing yourself a disservice, because then it's, you need to give yourself a deadline. We operate on deadlines. If you don't, then you're like, well, I can send that. I didn't tell them when, so I can send it tomorrow or the next day and it, you just push it down the road because, like, yeah, quoting prices, not fun. It's not the most fun part about being a copywriter. So if you give yourself a deadline, then you force yourself to say, okay, I need to think about this. I need to do this while it's fresh, while you have all that information from the call in your brain still, and come up with the quote.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I will often give myself a deadline that's a little bit shorter than I'd like to give. Yep. Like, say, for example, I talk to a client at 1 o'clock. Could I say, I'll get it to you by 9 a.m. tomorrow? Yeah, could, sure I could. But like, nothing's going to change.
You don't want to weigh on your brain overnight.
Exactly. Yeah. Nothing's going to change between 5 o'clock tonight and 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
The only thing that's going to change is you're going to give yourself more time to overthink it and be like, oh, well, did I quote too high? Is that too high? Are they going to say no? No, just
exactly.
Do it.
It's just several more hours of me going, oh, I don't know. Yeah. So just force yourself to put it together and send it out. And just like anything in this industry, don't miss your deadline. It is a huge red flag if you tell a client that you're going to do something by a certain time and you don't do it. Yeah. And just as huge of a red flag if you don't give a client a deadline, but then you wait days or whatever mm-hmm. to send through your quote. That is not the kind of freelancer that any client wants to work with. Because again, you're making them wonder when they're going to get the quote back. You're making them wonder how much it's going to be. Like, make their lives easy. Tell them what they're going to get. Tell them when they're going to get it. And then in your quote, talk about the next steps. And our students know that the quote emails do not have to be complicated, just the details of the project, the date of first copy delivery, and the cost. And then when the client comes back and says, yes, let's go for it, then you guys can talk about the next steps there. You don't have to overcomplicate it. But the whole thing, and maybe that's just the theme of the discovery call in general, is don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
Don't make it something it's not. Yes, can it be a little bit, I don't know if I want to say nerve-wracking, because it doesn't have to be that high emotion.
Well, yeah, when we think it's scary, it's like, is it scary or is like cliff jumping off a cliff is scary?
That's scary.
Like, we're not jumping off cliffs. We're also not like in a life-threatening situation. It's not actually these things that we're ascribing to it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It's talking to someone that you haven't talked to yet.
Pretty unemotional event. Just
exactly.
Hopping on a call. It's kind of boring.
Yeah. Yes. Think of it that way. It's kind of boring. It's very standard. You're just talking to someone that you haven't talked to before, which is essentially the same as if you're standing in line at the grocery store and someone turns around and says, hey, have you tried this frozen dinner yet? And you say, no, I haven't tried that one yet, but it looks like it might be good. It's just a conversation with someone that you don't know yet. It does not have to be a big deal. It will only be a big deal if you make it a big deal. And if you let yourself spend time perseverating and let yourself, oh, this is make or break. And again, it's not make or break.
One of the great ways to make it not feel make or break is you land your first client call, start sending out another pitch. And then send another pitch and keep doing other work. I think a lot of us are like, oh my God, first client call. And then we just focus in on that. And that's all we can think about. And that's all we do. And we forget about all the other things. We're like, oh, I need to update my portfolio, or I need to send more pitches, or I need to do. There's so many things you can work on your business. So keep doing all those things. That's just one thing. Okay, that's next Wednesday. Great. Between now and then, what's my plan? What are the tasks I'm working on to move my business forward? Because that's just one thing. And it's not a guaranteed client yet. So it's one of the things in your calendar. It's not even a firmed up thing yet. So keep working on the other things. And speaking of putting it on your calendar, once you do land, this should go without saying, but I think another thing to prepare to ease your nerves, put it on your calendar. The day of the event, I set alarms before all my meetings. I recommend anyone do it so you don't forget. You show up, set it 10 minutes before. So if you need to get a drink, you need to use the restroom, whatever.
Water.
Water yourself before the meeting.
Don't drink before the meeting.
Yes.
Don't try to calm your nerves. No, you said get a drink. I know you were thinking water. But
water, coffee.
Yeah, just to be very clear.
Don't take a shot of whiskey to calm your nerves.
Don't have a cocktail before your call.
No. You can do that before seeing the in-laws, but not before seeing your client. Mm-hmm. Great caveat. But yeah, set those alarms. Show up if it's a Zoom, Google Meet, whatever. Show up 5 minutes early so that when they come into your waiting room, you can let them right in. And so you're there early. You're not worried about scrambling at the last minute to show up on time. Because again, deadlines, this is basically your first deadline with them is showing up on time. And if you don't show up on time, that's a really bad look. Even if it's 1, 2, 3 minutes, you never want a client having to be like, hey, are we still on at this time? That's not good. Not a good first impression. Okay. So ease your nerves, give yourself time and space, 15 minutes even, honestly, before the meeting to get ready and get in 5 minutes early so that you're just there, your notes are up, breathe.
Mm-hmm. And then you know what? Block off a little time after that call too.
Yeah.
And spend that time celebrating. Then if you, unless it's, you know, 10:30 in the morning or, well, no judgment, but then if you want to have a glass of wine or a little bit of champagne or whatever to celebrate, then absolutely. Because no matter how that call went,
you did it.
It's still a win. You did it. Exactly. If it's your first one, yeah, awesome. But even if it's your second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, each one represents a win. It helps you get better at taking these calls as a professional. They get easier and every single one of them is a win. Now, maybe you don't need to celebrate after every single one of them, but at least for the first couple ones, take the time to recognize that you have taken this next step in your copywriting career. And that, the fact that you've taken the step, that the call itself, you don't have to make the call itself a big deal, but the fact that you've completed it, that's a big deal. That's a big, not in the scary sense, but in the, hey, you did it. And that's great. So you should be proud of yourself. Yeah. Okay. So CCA students, this should be a good reminder to go back and watch the Nail Your Client Calls course. And with many of the courses, we have so many within the Comprehensive Copywriting Academy. This is probably a good one too. If you watched it a while ago, go back and watch it again. Get a little refresher. Because there's always something new to learn and always new ways to improve these calls. And doesn't that make it even a little bit more fun that each call can get just a little bit better and a little bit easier? So that's what we have for you today. We hope you found it very helpful, and we'll catch you guys in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Like what you heard? Subscribe to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast so you never miss any copywriting tips, tools, or tactics. And if you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at freecopywritingtraining.com. We'll catch you in the next episode.